Damaged Goods. Chapter 46. Hermione stood there, watching the always cool and composed Slytherin girl violently sob. She pulled Pansy into a hug. "I'm so sorry." She couldn't help but feel guilty. Guilty for being part of the reason why he was gone. Guilty for not feeling more at the news of his death. She had been in a relationship with him for months, and yet the news of his death was like learning some distant acquaintance has passed.
"We were worried about this," Pansy said between sobs.
"About what?"
"He was so distraught over what he'd done to you."
She shook her head and pulled out a green silk napkin and dried her tears.
"We couldn't talk any sense into him. He didn't want to be around anyone. He was even more self-destructive than normal."
Distraught? Over Hermione? He had really loved her then. It hadn't been some sick game to him. It seemed implausible that Malfoy would ever fall in love with her. Perhaps if he hadn't drugged her, she would have loved him too? This stranger that she didn't know. She thought back to the 16-year-old boy she remembered, the one that never had a choice, and she felt a pang of sadness in her. Hermione turned to the painting again.
"When did he give you the will?"
"About a week ago."
Right around the time Snape's scroll stopped going through to Draco.
"And was he here in person?"
Morpheus shook his head.
"It arrived via flu. It's upstairs now in the study."
Hermione almost felt like she was in a trance when she walked upstairs. It made sense now, why she felt so comfortable in his mansion. The house had adapted to her. The scroll was sat on the desk in the study. A dark green ribbon was tied around it. Wordlessly, she took it and made her way back to Hogwarts. Pansy was crying when she told Knott, and his face turned pale as he pulled her into a hug. Zabini sat down as his face fell into his hands. Hermione was the odd one out, the only one who wasn't crying. During the war, she had always been worried to read his name on the list of those fallen on the front lines, even though he had been the enemy. She felt that bitter sting in her heart now, grieving the boy she knew. But she had never been that close to him, at least not that she could remember. She decided to give his friend space to mourn the loss of Draco. She presented Snape with the scroll, which she had already opened, and read the words that made no sense to her. In case of her survival, Hermione Granger is to be the sole heir to the entirety of the Malfoy fortune and all its properties, including Malfoy Manor. Snape's black eyes went to the scroll and then back to his reading material.
"Congratulations, Miss Granger," he said with a disinterest. "Looks like you're a very wealthy woman now."
What does this mean? Why would he do this?
"A question better directed at the man who signed the paper than me, I'm afraid."
"The new will was dropped off a week ago."
Snape's eyebrows rose.
"That's when my scroll stopped going through."
"Does that mean he's really dead?"
"Presumably."
"Why would a young wizard suddenly die?" She pointed at Malfoy's illegible signature at the bottom.
"His signature," she said. "It looks like he could barely hold a pen to paper." Dark eyes cast to the scroll and back to his notes, but he remained quiet.
"I'm guessing tremors in his hand," she said.
"I'm sensing a question."
"Well, he is in his 20s. Why would a young, healthy wizard suddenly die?" She thought back to his friends and how quickly Theo had hauled her a potion from his pockets. "Perhaps it was a drug overdose?"
"Perhaps. Either way, I fail to see how this is much of your concern. You should focus on your recovery."
"Does his mother know?"
"I haven't been in contact with Mrs. Malfoy in years."
If he was dead, Malfoy would have died all alone somewhere, guilt-ridden about what he had done to Hermione.
Snape didn't seem to care. She wasn't sure why that surprised her. Who knew what their relationship had been after the war? But she felt sad for Malfoy because nobody should be this alone. Sour. The word suddenly appeared in her mind. Another déjà vu. But never a word that presented itself so clearly. Like it mattered. With a sigh, she rubbed her eyes. It was exhausting trying to make sense of her mind. "And what about his father?" she asked.
"He is rotting in a cell. He surely doesn't know."
"Maybe I should visit him." Snape sighed.
"And what would you presume the importance of that to be?"
"Perhaps he knows something could spark a memory." She knew what Snape was going to say before he said it.
"There is no way to recover memories, Miss Granger. They are erased. Forever. Lucius Malfoy is an unpleasant man, and the time in Azkaban hasn't made him any more likable. If anything, he might insult you for your lack of blood purity."
She shrugged. "I'm used to it from the likes of him. I'm not afraid." Perhaps Lucius Malfoy knew something her friends didn't. Something from the past months with Draco that was important. It was worth a shot. "How do I get visitation rights in Azkaban?" she asked. The professor gave her a long, hard stare of disapproval before he answered.
"He is not in Azkaban. Not anymore. A few years ago, the Ministry built another high-security prison for the most prolific inmates. There are no visitation rights, but if you're so insistent, I will arrange a meeting for you. May I make one suggestion?"
She nodded.
"I wouldn't bring up that you, a muggle-born witch, have inherited all his fortune."
It helped that Snape was high up in the Ministry, because that evening she went to the underground prison that was only accessible through a specific portal. The bright neon lights made the bare concrete walls look even more clinical. At the end was one cell. The power from the magical bars was humming in the air with steady beats. The warden brought her a chair and sat her in front of the cell. Then a door opened and two guards brought in Lucius Malfoy. He had magical cuffs and wore a grey jumpsuit with a number on it. His long blonde hair looked unkempt, but mostly she noticed how his face had aged. Dark circles under his once bright grey eyes made them look almost dull. His face looked sunken in. The guards pushed him down onto a chair and then walked back out of the cell. And Lucius adjusted himself on the chair, his grey eyes never leaving her. He was assessing her, but in a different way than she had assumed. There was no animosity, at least not palpable.
"I was wondering if I would get to see you," Lucius said. "I assumed he would keep you as far away from me as possible."
"Why is that?" she asked, wondering if she should have asked Snape more about Draco's relationship with his father beforehand. He scoffed, and while he had otherwise long lost that polished shine he once possessed, he still managed to sound just as condescending.
"Do you need me to spell it out again? Is that why you're here? And to have me tell you that my own son despises me?"
She was quiet, absorbing that information, looking at her hands and wondering why she should tell him and how. "When was the last time he talked to you?" she finally asked.
"About 2 months ago."
He shuffled in his seat uncomfortably again.
"I wanted to thank you for convincing him to see me."
His lower lip trembled.
"He told me in no uncertain terms that he wouldn't have come had it not been for you."
She swallowed hard. Every time she heard another piece of information about her relationship with Draco, it shocked her anew. Nothing made any sense. They seemed to have been rather serious. He cleared his throat.
"I think I know why you're here."
"You do?" Her eyes landed on him, and he seemed to struggle to say the next part out loud.
"I'm assuming he asked for your hand in... marriage. At least he gave me the impression he would when he talked to me last.
There was a knot forming in her throat. Her mouth tasted sour, and her stomach was about to flip. Had he talked about marrying her? Had he been that serious about her? Was this his plan, to drug her with love potions for eternity? It didn't make sense.
So, if you're here to ask about my grandmother's ring, yes, you may have it,
Lucius said.
I set the wards on it when Draco was born.
She clasped her hands together tightly, staring at them as her nails dug into her palms, and concentrated on not letting the tears that stung her eyes make their way down her cheeks.
I was hoping he would ask me in person,
Lucius continued, with sadness in his voice.
But I understand. I will send instructions on how to open the wards. You may tell him I approve of this arrangement. He told me that you killed Bellatrix. Managed to change the magical connection between you two.
There was suddenly a higher pitch to his voice, and he nervously removed strands of his oily blonde hair from his face.
I see now we got it wrong with blood purity,
he continued, eyes wide with excitement.
It's not about blood. It's about power. You have exquisite power. Together with Draco, you will surely have fantastic offspring. That's what I always wanted for him. Someone who can match his powers. Continue the Malfoy line.
She felt sick to her stomach. Even after everything, he was still obsessed with power. Only now it was no longer tied to blood purity. That's not why I'm here, she said sternly. Instantly, he stiffened in his chair again. I wanted to ask you for any information because we can't find Draco. She couldn't tell him about the will, nor the implications of it. Not for now, at least. He looked confused.
What do you mean you can't find him?
She took a deep breath. A month ago, he obliviated me. I fell into a magical coma and was still not really sure why. He took off and we can't find him. There was a silence as he stared at her in disbelief. Something went wrong with the obliviate spell, and I lost all of my memories of the past few months. I have no recollection of our relationship.
Why on earth would he obliviate you?
He apparently drugged me with love potions.
Preposterous nonsense. My Draco would never. Us Malfoy men have pride. Who made up these lies?
Murder and torture were all right, but apparently the Malfoys drew the line at love potions. He confessed to it himself. Lucius's eyes narrowed.
I don't believe it for a second.
The strange part was, the more she learned about her time with Draco, neither did she. After I fell into a coma, he disappeared. His friends say he was so distraught over what he'd done to me, he took off. Do you have any idea where he might have gone to?
I am sitting in an underground, high-security prison. My son doesn't want to speak to me. What makes you think I would know?
What about any properties you might own? He leaned in closer.
If my son doesn't want to be found, he won't be.
Based on her limited knowledge of Draco Malfoy, she would have to agree. The guards came back into the cell. Visitation was over. When they picked Lucius up by his elbows, he looked at her pleadingly.
Please, tell me when you have found him.
She gave a nod and watched as he was escorted out. In the end, he hadn't been helpful in sparking any memories, and she'd realised once more that it was impossible to regain them. They were forever lost. Gone. Like ashes in the wind. Chapter 47. She was reading her old notebook, but every so often her eyes glanced to Malfoy's will on her desk. She didn't want the manor and his money. There was no way she could accept it, though she wasn't sure what to do with it. Donate it to charity, perhaps? Then her eyes went to the picture of her parents, and now it felt even more horrific that she'd obliterated them, made them forget she ever existed. Her memories weren't coming back. She had to find a distraction, so she tried to focus on her research project. Grabbing her notebook, she went to the potions classroom to talk to Dominic. When she walked in, she saw him talking to Snape.
"Yes, Miss Granger?" Snape asked.
I just had a question. Snape sighed.
"I gathered as much."
"An academic question." The professor's eyes lit up.
"Go on."
She presented her notebook. "I've been working on this potion for my thesis, but I obviously forgot everything I did over the last months. I'm trying to make sense of my notes, but it's giving me a headache."
"Your thesis potion?"
Snape's interest seemed to be piqued.
"And what is that exactly?"
"Are you testing my memory, Professor?"
"No, you never told me. In fact, you kept it a secret for months."
She had. What was the reason? And should she have not shared her notes with him? "Oh, well, it's a potion to remove my scar."
"An ambitious project."
"I used part of the formula to get Bellatrix's magic out of me."
"I am familiar with that part. It helped us in the murder investigation. How far have you gotten with the potion?"
"I think relatively far, but then I was stuck. Right here." She opened the last page and pointed at it. Snape and Dominic leaned in and studied the text.
"Fascinating," Snape said.
Dominic started writing certain equations down, feverishly working on something in his brain. Snape gathered materials and began experimenting. They shared their thoughts openly. Perhaps it was too much of this ingredient. No, it was lacking in another. Boiled too hot or with not enough water. For the next 10 hours, the three of them were brainstorming. It seemed Dominic and Snape were both equally interested in solving this academic problem. Then they finally had it. Dominic had taken off his robes by now and rolled up his sleeves, but Snape still looked like he had when they began this session. For years, the scar had been dictating her life. The nightmares were gone since Bellatrix's death, but she wanted to remove it for good. Wanted to see her arm again and not be reminded of one of the worst days of her life.
"Before you try it," Snape said, "I want to remind you of something I said to you. Normally, I don't make a habit of repeating myself, but I am sure you have no memory of me telling you this ever. What is the most important part of a potion?"
She stared at him blankly, thinking about base potions and ingredients.
"Intent, Miss Granger. So much of our magic is bound to our intentions. Potions most of all. When you follow the recipe we just created, I want you to think about what you actually want."
"I want to remove the scar." He shook his head.
"That's the outcome. What is the cause? What is it you truly want? Why do you need the scar removed?"
She lifted the sleeve of her shirt and looked at it. Mudblood. It wasn't just a scar on her flesh. It was a scar on her soul. "I want to be free from the pain. Free from the reminder of it." Snape almost mustered a smile at that.
"Use that intent as you brew the potion."
She stepped in front of the cauldron, and as she put the ingredients together, she thought of her intent. Free. From pain. From the reminder. When it was done, she poured the potion into a vial. It was grey and shimmered with different shades of blue. Dominic was biting his nails nervously as he watched her. Snape stood entirely still. She took a breath of courage, hoping it was going to work, and bracing herself for a possible failure. It felt cool and light on her tongue, and tasted of green apple and fresh grass. She waited for something to happen,
staring at her scar. Her heart began to sink. Nothing. It didn't work. She closed her eyes, but then she felt a strange sensation. It started in her core and rose to her heart. Her eyes flashed open again as she felt a cool breeze blow through her, like the first fall air after a hot summer's day. And then the word disappeared, letter by letter. First the M, then the U. Hermione started crying tears of joy. Everyone had told her it was impossible. All these years of feeling like a prisoner in her own skin with nobody believing her. When the last D disappeared and her arm looked like nothing had ever happened, Dominic came over to her and hugged her.
"You did it," he said. "You actually did it."
"Well done, Miss Granger," Snape said, with the friendliest look on his face she'd ever seen on him. "It appears you're going to be richer even than you were yesterday."
Dominic and Hermione broke their hug, both looking at Snape confused. She knew her potion was going to have several in the academic field very interested, but what was the value in it? "I don't understand," she said. Snape straightened the cuffs of his robes.
"Evidently you did what nobody could. You invented a potion to remove the dark mark."
There was a flush of adrenaline chasing through her body, while everything else seemed to go quiet.
What?
She had heard him. It was a stupid question, but she was barely able to form words.
"Reading your notes, it became quite clear to me that the properties of your potion are also applicable to the dark mark."
"You really think it would work?"
"Only one way to find out."
The sun had just risen when Snape returned to the potion room with Theo. He had asked her which student she'd like to pick for the experiment. She knew he had the mark, but given how freely he used drugs and alcohol, she assumed he was numbing something. And perhaps that something was the dark mark.
"What is this about?" Theo asked with a yawn.
"Miss Granger chose you for an experiment."
Theo made a face.
"Do I get a say? Because, no offence, I know you're the brightest witch and all, but since you can't even remember me, I'm not sure being your lab rat sounds all that enticing."
"Of course you get a say in this," Hermione assured.
The Slytherin glanced suspiciously at Dominic and Snape.
"What does your little potion do, Granger?"
"It removes the dark mark."
He almost stumbled as his eyes widened.
"Nobody can remove it. If this is your idea of a joke, it's not a very funny one."
"I brewed it to remove my own scar, and Snape believes it will remove the dark mark as well."
"So you've already taken it?"
She nodded, showing him her arm that no longer had the scar on it. Theo's eyes shot back to her.
"And you haven't turned into a frog or anything?"
She smiled. "Unless you're talking to one right now."
"Yeah, fine. I'll do it."
He took off his robes and rolled up his sleeve. She hadn't seen anyone with a dark mark in years. Whenever she looked at it, a cold shudder went down her spine. She handed Theo the potion.
"I just drink it?" he asked.
She nodded, but right as he put his lips to the vial, Dominic stopped him.
"Wait, we need to properly document this."
He took his notebook.
"I need you to describe the taste of it. Any weird sensations you might get."
Theo rolled his eyes.
"Fine."
Then he downed the potion.
"Feels warm, like sunshine. I'm tasting grapes and honey."
So it tasted differently to everyone. Fascinating. Good thing Dominic thought of asking those questions. They all stared at the dark mark,
the skull and snake winding down on Theo's arm.
"Probably doesn't help we're staring at it," Theo said nervously. "A watched pot never boils and all that."
She recognised the hope in his eyes. Desperate, clinging to this new possibility. Terrified he'd be disappointed again.
"How long has it been?" Theo asked, and as Dominic looked at his watch, Hermione saw it.
"Theo!" She pointed at his arm where black ink was dissolving. Theo gripped his arm tightly, staring at the mark disappearing bit by bit, until there was nothing left but clean skin. His eyes shot up and met hers. Silent tears were running down his face, and he looked at her in disbelief. He stared back down at his arm, and then he started to smile.
"Fuck me."
He wiped tears away and was laughing, still staring at his arm. Then he walked up to her.
"You really are the brightest witch of our generation."
He pulled her into a tight hug, arms almost crushing her against his chest.
"Thank you," he said quietly. "Thank you, Granger. You have no idea what this means."
But she did. She knew how heavy the weight of a reminder of your trauma could be. All day, Hermione was busy administering the potion to anyone at Hogwarts with the mark. Last was Snape. The professor rolled up his sleeve and looked at her as she brewed his potion.
"You won't remember this conversation we've had. Right in the beginning, you wanted to quit my class. Perhaps you felt I was too harsh with you. But I knew what you were capable of, and it was more than what you presented to me at the time. I asked you to tell me why you wanted to take my class. You never truly gave me an answer. The answer now sits in that vial."
He pointed at the grey potion.
"I know the answer was more than just removing a scar. You finally connected with what your intent truly was. Trust yourself, Miss Granger. Trust your intuition."
She swallowed a knot in her throat away. Getting any type of praise from Snape seemed oddly unfamiliar. Then he downed the potion and she grabbed her notebook, hoping she wasn't going to cry in front of him again.
"Cold," he said, "like a winter's night. Notes of licorice and juniper."
She wrote it all down, and then they watched as Snape's dark mark disappeared, and he gave her the first true smile she'd ever seen on him. The next day seemed just as busy. Snape was helping her to get her notes in order to present them to the Ministry and get the potion approved for large distribution. He wanted to make sure that she had everything in order before they alerted the Ministry and the public to this. Once that happened, Snape assured, she would be surrounded by media, academics, and the potion industry. Dominic helped write all their findings down. As she went through her notebook again, she suddenly discovered a loose page, torn in two. She pulled it out and saw only the bottom part was still there. It wasn't part of this potion. The ingredients were all wrong. "Test it on Monday," she had written on it. She had made another original potion, and she had tested it. She assumed on herself since there were no mentions of test subjects. She flipped the page over and saw her writing once more. "Taste. Extremely sour. Too sour? With notes of cacao." Sour. The feeling of déjà vu returned in an instant. It was probably a coincidence, but it didn't feel like it. Sour. Snape told her yesterday to trust her intuition. This was important. She just didn't know how.
"What is it?" Dominic asked, noticing the concern on her face.
"I'm not sure. It's this potion recipe that I wrote down, and I think it's important, but I only have half the page, so I don't know what it's for."
"Let me see."
Dominic took the page and read it carefully. Yeah, I can't make sense of it. And why do you think it's important?
You were working on an array of strange little potions, including a lipstick that glued Bloke's lips together.
Ginny had told her about that. The reason she got kicked out of Gryffindor.
No, I really think this is important.
Could the page have fallen out?
I don't think so. I only kept it in my drawer.
She thought back and remembered when the painting at the manor had told her about her being the new owner, and she had dropped her notebook.
Let me just quickly check something, she said, grabbing her notebook and apparating to the manor. Instantly, warm light greeted her, and she realised it smelled like water lilies.
"Welcome back, miss," Morpheus said. "I was hoping the new smell was to your liking."
"Yes, thank you." Her eyes scanned the floor, but there was no page. She sighed in frustration.
"If you're looking for the piece of paper you dropped the other day, the manor took the liberty to place it on your desk in your bedroom."
"My bedroom?"
"Yes, the master bedroom."
She walked up the stairs and to Malfoy's bedroom. There on his mahogany desk sat the half-torn note. It talked about ingredients and brewing instructions. When she flipped the page, the blood in her veins seemed to freeze. Her ears began to ring. Everything narrowed on the word she had written on the very top of the page. Anti-obliviate potion.